Attention Austin guitar players and bass players. Are you in need of setup or repair on your axe? Well, I have the guy for you, gang. That's Jason Swedberg over at J. Scott Luthery, and you can find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I've been talking about Jason for years. Why is that? Because I've been taking my guitars to Jason for over 20 years. Not only does he do the best job, but he has the best prices and the fastest service in town. Again, find him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Not only is he doing an amazing job repairing and setting up guitars, he is now building guitars. That's right. He built me an SG Junior, which I have, and it sounds amazing. It feels great. It's the very first SG Junior he ever built. I've got a J. Scott Luthery SG Junior. You can go see him at J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Get a guitar built. Get your guitars fixed. Get them set up. It's time, man. They've been hanging on the wall all through COVID. Now it's time to get them out, get them fixed, and get out there and play. J. Scott Luthery on Instagram. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I've had a very good week. It's been a busy week. That's what it's been. It's been a busy week getting all the stuff ready for South By. That's just around the corner, booking the last minute podcast people, RSVPing to all the parties. I've been invited to a lot of parties and I'm really excited about that. I wanted to remind you guys that the Unity Show is going on this Sunday at Hotspot. That's put on by Graham's Give Back. If you listen to Tuesday's show with Graham Weber, he and Graham Wilkerson have a basically a charity organization that distributes money to nonprofits that need it, that involve music and musicians and stuff. They're giving it to Dawa. They're giving it to a couple other people this show, but it's going to have like Heartless Bastards, DZ Brown, Kevin, all these kind of people playing at Hotspot. I would say go to grahamsgiveback.com to find out what's going on. I'm going to go to that show. Go to grahamsgiveback.com to get tickets, find out what's going on with it. It's at the Hotspot this Sunday, March 5th. That's what's going on over there, gang. Other than that, I don't really have a lot of shows I'm going to this weekend that I know of. But I am excited to go to the Hotspot and see the Unity Show. That's going to be fun. I haven't seen my friend Jonas play with the Heartless Bastards. He's been playing guitar with them for the last couple of years. He's been on tour with all kinds of people like Jason Isbell and Flaming Lips. All kinds of folks. So yeah, I'm excited about that. I've had an interesting week. I got to do a really great podcast on Wednesday, and I'm really excited to drop it. I think it's going to drop next week, but I'm not quite sure. I'm really, really excited about it. I talked to Peter Case from the Plimsolls. He's got a brand new record coming out. It's fantastic, gorgeous record. Comes out at the end of the month. There's this documentary about him. I think it comes out in May. I'm trying to get back from the publicist, but I actually watched that twice. I have a secret code to it. I'd like to watch it a third time before it becomes a public domain, but great documentary. If you don't know who Peter Case is, he was in the Plimsolls. He was in the Nerves. He's my friend Joshua's dad. But you know, the Plimsolls, A Million Miles Away from Valley Girl, that movie. He's from that band. And you know, digging into that band, man, what a rich history that guy has. What a great songwriter. What a great musician. I look forward to dropping that to you guys next week. Peter Case, legend. Legends, baby, legends. Anyway, today, man, I've got a great show for you guys today. I do. I have a fantastic show for you guys today. I'm really excited to bring back my old friend Jeremiah Jackson back to the show. He was on back in 2019. He has just released a brand new single called Stereo Rider. You can find him at jeremiahjacksonmusic.com. He did this record, of course, with my dear friend Dylan Fisher, who's super cool, and also my dear old friend Kyle Ellison, who I love a lot. They recorded this record. It's out. It's available now wherever it is you stream and download your music. I'm going to play a little bit of it here. Jeremiah and I have a great conversation. Jeremiah has had an interesting couple of years. He was here in Austin for a while. He had a bit of a breakdown, not just a bit of a breakdown, but one where he had to go to a place and cool out for a little while. He went through some heavy shit, but he got through it. He's been living out in Tyler, Texas with his family. easing back into the world, but he'll be back out here playing. He did some shows in February here in Austin. He's done some shows in Tyler too. You can find him at jeremiahjacksonmusic.com. He's got a new phrase, though. He came back out of the thing with like a whole positive outlook on everything. I believe in you. That's his catchphrase now. It's on his koozies. It's on his shirts. He gave me a shirt. He gave me a koozie. Such a nice guy. Such a talented guy. And this song, Stereo Rider, it's good, man. It harkens back to the days of glam rock. Glam rock and roll. That's what I love. Like 70s glam, not 80s glam. I don't like Poison, but I love T-Rex. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. I think Jeremiah Jackson knows what I'm saying, too. Without any further ado, check out this song, Stereo Rider, and my long and very intense conversation with the lovely and talented and always, always, always a great hang, Jeremiah Jackson. Let's get down.
Like, make love to it.
Make okay. Slow love to that microphone now.
All the love.
All the love.
All the love.
So, dude, it's been a while. When were you on the last time? I was trying to remember that. Was it like it 2017
be,
or something?
No, it actually had to be 2019. We're just talking about that year. It had to be May of 2019 when I first did that Awake single. And then I recently released that. Just about a year ago, fully, the three-song thing, Awake, Blaze, and Sleep.
And, great tunes, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, man. I love your jams. The pictures that you sent me are hilarious.
Oh, yeah?
I love the cape.
You like the cape?
What does the cape do? Is it like Superman? Like, you put on a thing, and then you're a different guy?
I think that's true of most anyone who gets on stage and puts on something different. It is like a little... and it adds something, like you put it on and you feel it a little different.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You put it on and you feel, very super. It's kind of like almost a supernatural thing more than super powerful.
Now, is that because is there a shyness to you that do you use that to protect yourself from the energy of people? Is it just to lift yourself up as you're going on stage? Because you're a positive guy.
You know, you can kind of say that a lot because, kind of a positive thing that goes along with the cape is I believe in you, which is a new kind of motto for Jeremiah Jackson that I've been using. And, I just referred to myself as Jeremiah Jackson, who I am.
Yeah.
But it's a positive to it because you see the cape and it's sparkly sequin and the light reflects off of it. And you can't help but smile and go, ooh, that's something. And people do notice it more than just wearing, a t-shirt and jeans and jamming on your guitar on stage.
Yeah.
You put a little show behind it. You give people that third dimension that sometimes you miss from just a recording that you listen to.
And it's hard to do that in like a bar setting, right? And it's hard to do that on a budget that people like us have as opposed to like a real band. But like, not that we're not real, but like a band with budgets too.
Oh yeah,
with explosion budgets.
Well, we say explosion buckets, like someone else is investing in it because someone else comes along and has said, I believe in you enough that you can make me some money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to invest in you some money. You go record this and you're going to go do this. But also just, sometimes the most fun I can have, and I'm sure you've had the same experience with, it's just a few people in a bar and then you're connecting with each individual person, dozen people, half a dozen people.
Yeah.
And each person leaves there going, I feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit differently just because this person connected with me while they were singing these songs.
Yeah.
And, you interact with people. Like when I go on stage, and if you go and see me play live, I will look at you directly in the eye if you get close up to the stage, and I will say to you, I believe in you. You'll hear that, and you will feel it.
Do you really feel that you believe in people?
I believe that.
Or do you think that message needs to be out there in a world that we live in, where no one's walking around saying, I believe in you?
I think all the above, because You know, at first to say, I don't, we our worst enemy is ourselves. We'll always say the worst things to ourselves. We'll say, oh, I hate myself. I hate this, that, and the other. And I've actually said that before. I was sitting in my car, I just hate that. I hate this, that, and the other. And then recently I go, you know what? No. Replace that hate with love. If you just say that to yourself, oh, I love this. I love that. It feels a little different. I almost get a little tearful to myself. I was like, wow, I could have been saying this all along. Yeah. And if I say, I believe in you, do you believe in me enough? You start to really believe in yourself when you kind of push that out there. And when you, it's kind of hard not to let it in when it's on the outside so much.
Right. Yeah. Do you, you said you were having, you were hating on yourself in the car.
Yeah.
Did you, was that a pattern for you before? Is this like something that you're doing, working on yourself, that you're like, oh shit, it works on me. Might as well work on everyone else.
Oh, I'll make
koozies.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
And that's like a thing that I've done before when I used to teach before. I talked to you about that last time I was on here.
Yeah.
And I don't do that anymore, but something that I still want to do is if I've learned something and this works really well for me, if I've learned something, it's important to spread that knowledge because, the knowledge is power.
Yep.
And then also on the other side, ignorance is bliss. And I think we can all agree with that. The more you know about something, the kind of more heart-wrenching it can be.
Yeah.
And the more you discover about yourself, the more heart-wrenching it can be.
Yeah.
And also, it's also very calming when you say, oh, this is what it's about. So discovering more about yourself, more introspective, work on yourself, not just alone, also, other people out there to help you.
What made you stop teaching?
It was kind of an extreme kind of circumstance. And I took some time away from that. I had a lot of trouble going on. And, I actually spent a few weeks, 6 weeks inside a unit in Houston called Menninger. It's a whole psych hospital.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit.
Because I was at the beginning of 2020 before COVID actually happened.
Jesus.
Right before 6 weeks there, because I kind of reached the end, and what kind of got to it was I went to see my psychiatrist, and when you see anyone like this, a psychiatrist, therapist, anyone time it comes to therapy, I always recommend like a licensed social worker. Like an LCSW or someone who really knows, who has degrees, who has the background, right, studied and really, really knows and understands, I feel like she's like, oh, well, you want to pet me? Is that all right? Yeah.
It's my,
little emotional support dog. For a moment there. And then she wanders off to her own world. But, I came to a point when I was talking to my psychiatrist and he asked, can you promise to be, safe for the next 24 hours? And I could not promise that. So he said, okay, we're gonna do this and get you someplace. And that was just really recuperating and wonderful, honestly.
Can you talk? I mean, there's people that have gone through this too, that probably haven't.
And that's why I do want to talk about it. Yeah, that's why I want to openly say about
what
it.
What was it? What was it that you, what was getting to you? Like,
it was a lot of, is this the life that I want, and is this life worth living? And I kind of got to the point where I thought to myself, or came to the conclusion that, oh, it's really not worth living. And, going in someplace like an inpatient thing, it's not an all cure. It's not a one all cure thing. And something that I can compare it to is recently, just this past Friday, my sweet niece, she's 9 years old. She actually broke her arm pretty badly and she had to go in for surgery for it. She comes out of surgery and is kind of upset that, she thought the surgery was going to fix it completely and she was going to be completely better. But she has months of recuperation ahead of her.
Right.
So going into something like that is a little bit like that.
Right.
I came out and not everything was fixed, of course.
Right.
Not everything was perfect. However, everything was set. The doctors, you go into some place like that. I had a team of people surrounding me. It was very, intimidating at times. But, and it's also hard to come to conclusion that, oh, wait, they're all on your side and they want you to get better. And it was also this weird kind of fight in a way with myself.
Did you have to go back and like work through your deepest issues? I mean, what ended up being the diagnosis of why you didn't know if you wanted to go on?
Well, the diagnosis was, of course, I had major like clinical depression.
Okay.
For one thing. That's something that I have worked through since then.
Okay.
And I am not there anymore. I also had major anxiety issues, still have anxiety. However, it is more under control. And that's through, you know, since then, 2 years of great introspection, 2 years of, you know, kind of on and off with therapy, not as consistent as I should be. Like I can actually go back and say that, you know, I could be better with this. I could be more consistent with this, but I've kept with that same psychiatrist for one thing. Which is really good. And also another thing, it's to anyone who listens to this and is like, oh, I can't find someone. Oh, that is
hard to find someone.
That's the most difficult thing in the world. It's probably more difficult than finding, you know, your true love, your most significant other in your life.
Yeah.
Because this is someone that you have to put a lot of trust in.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people like myself, you know, I have trust issues. It's hard to trust people sometimes. And along with that, what came out was that I also have borderline personality disorder. So in the DSM, which I forget which that stands for, this is like a
the
sort of Bible for
The big book. It's red,
the big book
usually,
for,
or blue.
For mental health services and everything.
Yeah.
And in it they have, oh, here are all sort of signs that you're suffering from PTSD or this, that, or the other. So under the borderline personality disorder, a psychiatrist in the hospital is like, so Patrick, I'm going to go through this. Oh, I love this woman. I said, Patrick, we're going to go through this. All nice. And I say, what about, does that sound like something that reverberates with you? You know, that kind of does this, that, and the other. And so you had to get like five or so, I think.
All right.
And I just got like four.
Okay.
And maybe kind of another one. And then with a little bit of PTSD, it was less than that, but I still had some of it. So in the end, this isn't like an actual professional opinion or anything. I feel like it can kind of go all on a spectrum of things. Like as far as how much trauma you have from a past event, you know, or because of what I know of trauma and everything, it's not really the outside force that's about it. It's that inside force that reverberates after the traumatic event.
What was the traumatic event? Can you talk about it?
It was a bad relationship. It was a relationship that ended pretty badly, that I thought was going to be, the rest of my life sort of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of me, a lot of bad communication in the end. And the thing was, that relationship actually ended 2 years before I went into the hospital. So actually, it was just kind of like waves with me going up and down, up and down. And that lowest dip, that lowest trough, was finally saying, okay, I need to go in.
Yeah.
Need some place where I can be completely safe. And it's like 100%, you know.
So glad you made it through, man.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's interesting because when you know you just on the level that I know you, you're this gregarious, just you light up a room. Like your energy is like, you know.
Because
you've got a big, positive, beautiful energy about you.
I've been there, though. Yeah. I call it true nihilism. I don't believe anyone is an actual true nihilist unless they are truly suffering from, oh, this is it. This is all there is. What's the point? And it's like I was there in the deepest, darkest, could not move. Had to have, I have wonderful parents who helped me along. My mother actually came and stayed with me for a little while because I could barely get out of bed and move. And
depression?
Just sank deep into it. And it was, looking back on it, of course, when you've seen such darkness, you really appreciate the light.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
That's true.
And kind of how I kind of look at it now is kind of like, I think it's how physics look at it. There's no such thing as darkness. It's an absence of light.
Right.
There's no such thing as cold. It's an absence of warmth.
Right.
So whenever I walk into a place now and there is an absence of light, maybe I can bring a little light into there because I've known what the darkness is, and go into some place and it's feeling a little cold. I can bring that warmth because I know what it's like to be cold in the dark and just feeling empty and no connection to anything.
Yeah.
And I feel that going into someplace, music, you know, is a big bringer together of community. You know, I kind of think of like the earliest thing, going back to history, when I think of history stuff, because I taught, like, the earliest thing in the United States of like community, and like, you know, go back to colonial times in history, were the community centers were churches. Mm-hmm. And of course, you beginning to have hymnals and things like that. So I think it's music and shows, you know, especially secular ones now that have no connection to any religion, that are just there for everyone to have a good time.
People are still doing communion.
That, well, yeah, it still has that same energy. Yes, it is communion, isn't it?
Yeah.
And here in Austin, you do it 5 nights a week all the time.
Five
nights a week. What am I talking about? There's 7 nights a week in the week, aren't there? The weekends. I'm Jeremiah Jackson. 5 nights a week.
I'm only,
and the other two.
Well, sometimes you need a couple days off.
What am I? God, I'll work 7 days a week, no days off.
Did you have you been able to channel any of that? Like, have you, as far as like dealing with the feelings that come at you now after you've gotten the tools from the place that you were at for 6 weeks, the facility, and then a couple years of kind of skipping along in therapy though and working on it, do you now feel like you have the tools where you know how to channel or kind of fight off when that's coming, or kind of go through it, or what did you glean from that?
I think time? the hardest thing I had was, like, I was presented these tools so much, I knew how to use them, I just wouldn't. It was just like this pushback against it, because, and I know that a lot of people who have suffered from depression will agree that depression is sort of like this old friend. It knows
exactly
you.
Right. That's
it's
right.
Very
That's right.
Comforting.
It's the devil you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's because the devil knows exactly what you like. It's like, oh, yeah, come here. You're warm here. You know exactly how this feels, because feeling good is scary. That's a foreign thing. And, you know, you fall into that, and that's very cyclical.
Yeah.
Or in eventually going down a drain or something, really.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, though, that you got through it and you're here.
Oh, yeah.
And you're making music and you're putting the cape on again.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do have those tools now. So when, and it's about being mindful about everything. It's about, you know, that knowledge is power sort of thing. So I'm aware, like, oh, I have signs of BPD. And I've seen certain things like that. Like, I have to connect and hold on to certain people, and if they don't respond to me, I fall apart. Oh, is this the end of the world?
Now
I have these tools, like, you know, like one of the things that I went through, which I always recommend, is dialectical behavioral therapy, which is a lot to it. And I recommend people who know they do have BPD, it's particularly for people like that. And I actually went through that therapy before I knew that I had BPD.
Okay.
So I actually did outpatient therapy stuff once a week with a group and one-on-one for the longest time. But that is something that I really would recommend, because, you know, they present the tools so easily to you. But again, for me, the hardest thing was using them. But things like checking the facts, like, oh, you know, this person that I like so much, well, you know, everyone has their own lives. They're busy. Right, they're doing stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not the main character here, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone, isn't it weird to think that everyone has their own dreams and wants and needs and living their own lives? They're all the main character of their own lives.
Yeah.
They're all Tony Stark.
Yeah. So I've seen some video of you guys playing. You're a ripping guitar player.
Thank you very much.
Did I see you at the Scott Collins thing when I was leaving?
When was this?
At Waterloo? No.
Oh no, I wasn't able to make that. Does he still have that flyer up, the big window thing?
I don't know.
Okay, I'll have to drive by there, because I meant to go by there and get someone to take a picture of me mooning it and then sending it to him, but I haven't been able to do that. So maybe
the window cling. That's what they're called.
Oh, window, the window cling?
Window cling.
I thought you just said I need to go clean the window. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go clean the window with my rear.
Instead of doing this podcast. Yeah. They used to have these things. Like, did you grow up in a town with the Tower Records? Were you ever exposed to Tower Records?
No, I never was.
They used to make these giant, like, 3D art pieces of your album with it. Like they had each store had like a styrofoam artist, and they'd make these cool like 3D fucking things that they'd put on the wall. Better than a window. No offense against a window clean.
In the town that I grew up in Longview, Texas, we had a little place called CDs and More.
Uh-huh.
And it has since shut down. CDs
and More.
Is that like a chain?
No, that just has a great, that's a great just name. Great, you know exactly okay. what you're getting there.
You know exactly
CDs,
right?
CDs, like, and maybe some,
don't you love that?
T-shirts.
Like, yeah, posters, exactly. Like Spencer's Gifts. Yeah. What is this going to be? Oh, what? Oh, no. Yeah, but exactly. CDs and More. Anything, right? Oh, here's a CD.
You know,
here's the stickers.
I spent like 2.5 decades not going to Spencer's Gifts because I thought it was stupid.
Oh,
and
it
over
is
the last
stupid.
Like 5 years, I've been going there.
Oh, it's stupid.
I love it.
Well, do you buy anything from
it? I do.
Oh,
I do.
Really?
There's a wind-up midget masturbator that you'd wind up and he'd like pull his little wiener.
Pull his wiener?
It was the greatest. I got it for my cousin.
Did he smoke gift. Afterwards, or did he vape afterwards?
No. He just walked around, and it said, "Wind it up and watch that little guy go."
Hey, just the Energizer Bunny, man. Just going and going and going.
Midget masturbator is what it said on the package.
Yeah,
I mean, where else are you going to get a midget masturbator? Also, can you say midget? I don't know if I'm going to get canceled now.
I mean, I'm going to make sure, I'm going to call up everyone at The View and make sure you get canceled.
The View?
Whoopi's going to come down here knocking on your door saying, "Excuse me, Johnny, but you can't say that."
The View.
The View.
Have you watched that show?
No, not really.
I've only seen like highlights. I know what it is.
One of my favorite. Well, no. I get it too, but they don't understand satire sometimes. Like they had Norm Macdonald on years ago. Yeah, you ever see that one?
It's not going to go well.
Yeah, it's like, you guys know who he is, right?
Yeah,
he shows up and they start pestering him because he had a picture of him shaking George Bush's hand, and the story was.
Norm
McDonald's like, "I'm going to do my Norm McDonald impersonation." He's just at the airport, and it's just like, you know, I'm gonna see him. I'm going to take a picture with him. Why not? You know,
giving him shit about that?
Yeah.
Time of like 20 years ago, whenever the war was going on?
Just like, oh, yeah, Bush is great because, you know, he's going to save us from the terrorists and everything, or this, that, the other, but they're against it because of war and all this. And he goes, and then he just randomly goes, "You know, Laura Bush killed that guy." And then they just get so mad at him, like, "Oh no, we're not going to talk about that." I'm just like, "Well, you brought this guy on, and it's like you got, it's like, oh yeah, we're gonna bring in this live grenade to this little kid's birthday party and have him pull the pin.
Yeah.
Then we're gonna see what happens."
So wait a minute, let me ask you this.
Sure.
So you get out of the facility place,
yes,
and it's 2020. Then you're in the fuck. You're going home, and you're locking yourself down
right before COVID started. Okay. So what you should do after such a long stay, you've been kind of institutionalized in a way.
Right.
So they have these halfway house sort of programs, but I did not go into that partially because of COVID.
The pandemic.
Because the pandemic was just starting to happen. When I got out, people were just starting to get sick and things weren't shutting down yet, but it was just about a week or so after I got out.
Wow.
So that was pretty interesting, but it was all almost like, oh, well, I'm used to this, not going anywhere, not doing anything pretty much.
But how was your mental state coming out of it and just being alone? Were you alone or were you staying with someone?
I was with my parents.
Oh, that's good.
I was with
that's
my parents
good.
In Longview. So that was good. And it was just, I could go outside.
Yeah.
I could do all these things and I had all these tools, but I did, just like everyone else, you know, I get out, I'm kind of on a high note, and right afterwards, because of COVID, I went into another kind of trough there a little bit. You know, no one's taking showers. Heck, I didn't, you know, go and take a shower for a week at one point, you know.
I didn't wear deodorant for most of 2020.
I don't think anyone did. I don't think people have gone back to it. But I would highly recommend people. You know, no, deodorant's not the problem. People just don't bathe enough. Let me just throw that out there.
People
just don't bathe enough.
I do.
Because you can put as much deodorant as you want on, but it's just covering up the layer.
Right. It's like the 1800s where you can't get yourself to smell good, so you just keep putting like fruit on yourself or whatever the hell they used back then.
I don't know. I think everyone just kind of dealt with it. We're just like, oh, everyone smells. That's the thing. I guess. Oh yeah. It's, hey, walk outside. Oh, it smells like shit today. Oh, I guess it does. It was, everyone was British back in the day. It smells like shit outside. Oh, yeah, it's just like yesterday, wasn't it? What about tomorrow? It's going to smell like piss. Oh, good. You know, just every day.
Every day.
Every day. Everyone smells. Because like deodorant originally was sold as a feminine beauty product. Because they couldn't sell it as like a hygiene thing, as like a cleanliness thing. Because everyone's like, why would you use this? Everyone smells awful anyway.
Right.
So then companies got the product. Oh, you want to be beautiful, right? Well, you want to smell good. That's part of beauty. Cha-ching, ching, ching, ching.
Oh, good idea.
So that, yeah, it's kind of, you know, sell it as that. And nice. Now we wear it because it's a hygiene thing, I guess. Oh, whatever. You don't want to smell on the plane with, you know, 100 other people in a little metal tube.
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't like shorts, people in shorts. I hate sitting next to a guy in shorts.
Really?
On a plane. I just don't understand it. I think there's people that just totally wear their PJs on the plane. That's weird to me. Maybe I'm old.
When I first started
flying, people still dressed up to go on a plane.
Well, have you heard that old Patton Oswalt joke about flying? It's like, well, you know, back in the day, people dressed up for it. It was an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You could arrive 15 minutes before your plane left. You could have a cocktail with the pilot.
They'd hold the plane for you? Yeah.
Yeah, everyone was a spy. That was my favorite part of that joke. Everyone was a spy. Yeah, because everyone dressed up like they're on Mad Men. My brother.
No, I wasn't. I'm not that old.
Well, okay, never mind. Let's.
I'm talking about the 70s.
Oh, we're talking about the 70s?
People still dressed up.
I think they did.
Maybe I did.
Everyone in the 70s. Okay, let's go to the 70s. Everyone's in their flared out pants and big giant lapels that go down to their knees. And no, I'm sorry. That's a little exaggerated. No, everyone's dressed normal. It's just like that 70s show, except they're planes.
Right. And there's people flying.
And you can smoke on them.
I smoked on planes when I smoked. Like in the late 80s, you could still smoke on planes.
Oh, man.
I remember taking a flight in 1989 and smoking. And I think that was the last one. Jeremiah Jackson, let's get back to this music. We haven't even touched on it yet. Stereo Rider.
Yes. Stereo Rider.
Great song. People can get out there and check it out right now. You probably heard the beginning of it before we started talking, but tell me a little bit about this song. It's a pretty bombastic glam song.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
it's
great. It's a good song.
It's kind of a journey of a thing. It has three parts to it.
Yeah,
in a way. Dylan, my producer, engineer, friend, secret lover. Don't let his wife Allison hear this. Secret lover. We worked on this really hard, but he mixed it in a way. He actually said, I mixed this as if it were three different songs, three different parts in a way. Because in the beginning, it's kind of like almost someone complaining, someone laying it all out there. You know, I had a day, all this stuff happened to me. But then in the second part, it's like, you know what? Who cares? I'm going to get through this myself. Don't pray for me. You know, keep that for yourself. And then also, well, here are the things that are really tearing me apart. So it's kind of a song. I guess it's a song about hope.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of truth to it. And so a big part of believing in yourself is laying the truth about yourself all out in front of you and facing it.
Yeah.
And not denying it. Kind of like, oh, I better not look at my bank account today, you know, kind of thing. No, you better look at your bank account and face up to it, you know. One of my favorite TikToks is, be a man. Don't look at your bank account. Overdraft. Be a man. Or something like that. No, don't do that.
No,
don't do that. Be aware of yourself and, you know.
Own it.
Also, it's I think it's a very uplifting song. I think by the end of it, there's a feel good quality to
it. Yeah, a little chant thing.
A little, oh yeah, and
reminds me of the thing that on Ziggy Stardust. Na 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 na.
Okay, everyone,
I can go. Na na na.
I can die happy. I've just been compared to David Bowie. Yeah. I can die happy. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, no, there's a lot. You say glam, and that's kind of where I put the genre at is glam daddy blues.
Okay.
Because a lot of what I grew up with really was my dad introducing music to me with the trifecta of Jethro Tull, Santana, and Led Zeppelin. But then I discovered things like David Bowie
right.
and other things, you know, T-Rex,
yeah.
things like that by myself. You know, Elton John from him a little bit, but Elton John is also very glam. You know,
he went through a pretty big glam
presents
plus
himself.
He was like, he was. Did you see that? That's him, isn't he? The guy on Bang a Gong, isn't he the?
I did not know. I did not know he was on that.
He played on. He's on Top of the Pops playing with him when they did that.
Well,
but I don't know if he played on the record.
Yeah. Well, if they were on David Letterman, it would have been Paul Schaefer playing on.
No.
No, I'm making a joke. Ahead. Bad joke.
No, Mark was dead before.
Oh, no, I know. I know. But that was always the funniest thing. I always liked watching David Letterman's musical guests.
Yeah.
Like my oldest brother never, I don't think he ever liked that. He always wanted to hear him interviewing someone. But was like, I was like the musical guest because he was big music person, big supporter of that. He was a drummer. And so there's actually this hilarious big compilation video of him going up to each band, shaking their hands, going up to the drummer and going, "Hey, that's a great set. Are they yours or are that a rental?"
That's hilarious.
There's just like 4.5 minutes of him going up there. Him and Johnny Carson both were drummers, and that was something they connected on. But a lot of the times you'll see bands come on there, and you'll see Paul Schaefer is right next to them, jamming along on his keyboard or something. So it's great. You know, Paul Schaefer, he's a crazy, awesome, talented musician. You know, one of the best songs he ever wrote was It's Raining Men. Are you familiar with that song by the Weather Girls?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he wrote that song.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that so much. And, you know, he's just sitting there with a smile on his face, just jamming along with him and everything. Or if you ever watch Jules Holland,
Jules Holland.
Sometimes he'll hop up there with him. One time there's this great video of him with the White Stripes, and Jack White jumps on a bass guitar, right?
Oh, cool.
And Jules Holland is on the big piano, and of course, with them is always Meg on the drums, of course.
Yeah.
And they're playing Doorbell, you know. I've been thinking about my doorbell when you're going to ring it.
Yeah.
When you're going to ring it. And you just jamming out and everything. Yeah. And I love that because it was really old school if you watch the video, because the piano, how it's positioned, he's facing away from the band.
Right.
So you know what he has, of course.
Yeah.
A mirror set up on there so he can see and get cues from everyone. I love that. Yeah. So the whole time he's playing, and Jules Holland, just, you know, master pianist and everything, just being able to do that and all is just
really
awesome.
I got to see him. Like when I was a teenager, when he was with Squeeze in 1985, I saw them here.
Oh, wow.
That's great.
That's really neat.
He had like a little portion of the show. He had like a little 5-minute, like,
oh, that's neat.
Everybody left the stage and just let him do his thing.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, he's something else, Jules Holland. He's something else, Jules Holland.
He's something else, Jules Holland. Maybe he'll invite me over this. Oh, I like this. I'm going to invite Jeremiah Jackson.
Jeremiah Jackson,
the Bullfrog.
So, what do you got a South by Southwest thing going on?
You know, I don't have any South by Southwest stuff going on this year. I think I'm just kind of taking it easy from that and focusing on writing and preparing my EP that I want to have come out a little bit later this year.
Okay. So, you already kind of started on that?
Yeah, we started on that. Kind of when I started with Stereo Rider, kind of the idea was eventually get a whole EP out there. And I'm not 100% sure now about Stereo Rider being a part of the full EP, but I think it kind of, it's their jumping off point to these other songs that I'm really happy about.
Yeah.
One of them is actually I Believe in You, a song written around that kind of mantra and chant.
Nice
song that I'm really happy about. Another song is a little ditty called Soul Power, and I'm actually having Nelson from Comalas Movies is coming in, and he's playing a little keys on it, which I'm really excited about. He's a friend, and I just adore Comalas Movies.
Yeah, me too. You know, a cool connection. They made a record when Scott had his studio there,
yes.
Chicken Run, and Dylan was there.
Mm-hmm.
This piano went there because I knew they didn't have a piano, and I had to move out for a couple weeks while they redid the apartment.
I remember
that. And so I was like, "Hey, do you want to take this piano?" And he said, "Yes." And Comalas Movies ended up using it.
Oh, I remember this piano being there.
That's the piano from Comalas Movies.
That's hilarious because that's where I recorded Awake, Blaze, and Sleep.
Did you record on the piano?
No, I did not record on the piano. I'm not sure if it was still there at the time, but I do remember Dylan saying, oh yeah, this is a piano from so-and-so. And I was like, who cares? Whatever. I was like, no. But I do remember that. That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It would have been around the time when I met you.
No, it was just about that time. Mm-hmm. No, that's funny. Cause I think that's how you originally came up to me from Dylan. It's like, oh, this guy, he does great.
This guy has his own piano.
This guy has his own piano. You should talk to him. He got his own piano. Yeah, he's got his own piano. Yeah. Or the piano.
He can also do the key sweep and first chord of Bang a Gong if you need him to ever.
All right, let's go right now.
Is it Get It On or Bang a Gong? What's the name of that song?
Bang a Gong. It's Bang a Gong.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, because, well, the you're insinuating that you're going to get it on.
But that's what you do when you bang. Why do I forget what the name of it? Oh, because I had a song called Get It On.
Yeah. So I think that's what. So that actually break. So I was at ACL this past year.
Okay. How was that?
It was awesome because I actually guitar teched for Coma Lost Movies.
Oh, yeah. I saw some videos from you on there.
Dylan,
that's right.
Yeah. Dylan was running front of house for them.
FOH.
And FOH. FOH. And I was doing dancing on stage behind them. No, I wasn't doing that. They actually had dancers, and
Sheila, right?
Yes,
Sheila came out with them. And Sheila Gonzalez, great.
Yeah.
Artist.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. And I remember we saw Culture Club.
Oh no! Boy, shit. Georgia, how was that?
Oh, it was hilarious. They did a great, huge. Well, I say hilarious at the end. Okay, people have to understand when I say, "Oh, it's hilarious." That's usually a great thing. I'm not making fun of someone. But this is kind of poking fun. They did this huge, long version of Bang a Gong.
They did?
And he goes, yes. And Boy George goes, and here's this person, and here's this person. And they do the little ditty. And then they get to the end of their set, and they're playing Chameleon. And come a, come a, come a, come a, come a, Chameleon.
My least favorite song.
And they
song
get
this.
Cut off.
Oh, no shit. Why?
During the middle of their song. Because they went over their time.
Oh.
They went over their
time. Fucking around doing the.
And they were using these special in-ear stuff where they're not using any kind of stage monitor stuff, probably.
Right.
So they were just jamming along, and they had this audience callback thing, and they didn't know that they were cut off until the audience was not doing the callback thing.
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
And it was just like, well, you know.
Are you a Culture Club fan, or were you happy to see them fail publicly like that?
I am never really happy to see someone publicly fail like that, of course, but I'm not really a crazy fan or anything, but no, that was just, when you go to a festival, you're not going to go and see, well, I was going there for free, so I don't really care, but anyway, you know, being the artist's help and everything, but anyway, when you go to a festival, kind of part of it is, oh, I'm investing in a lot of blind faith that I'm going to see some good stuff that I'm not aware of before. So, you know, I never really listened to Boy George, never really listened to Culture Club.
Great singer.
Did I? Yes. Am I glad I saw him?
Yeah.
Yes. Am I glad he failed? No. Why would I be happy anyone failed?
I don't know.
But it was
There's
still...
a couple of people I like to see go down.
I'm going to jump across here. No, but it was funny nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah.
I started laughing. Yeah. Dylan thought it was funny, but it also... whenever Coma Lost Movies did their set, Nelson, he's so very serious, and he's someone that's very inspirational for me to like say, oh, how serious he is about every little thing when it comes to his music and planning the shows. How even, you know, down to the last second on his set time was perfect. Like hit their set ended right on the exact minute.
Well, that's part of being cool is ending when you're supposed to, especially when you're part of a big, like it wasn't the Boy George show. I'm sure they weren't playing last.
Oh, yeah. Leave them wanting more.
Well, just like you don't hurt your fucking, don't hurt the next guy coming on. Don't fuck with the crew that's there, that's been there since, you know, 4 days ago.
Oh, man.
You know?
Can I tell you something? That stage crew, we were on the Honda stage. They were the best. And maybe it was because we were the first act of the day and they had plenty of sleep the night before or something. But they were so wonderful. I knew the stage manager. I knew the guy who was in charge because he had a saunter about him and he was smoking a cigar. So I knew that he was in charge. And then he would sit down a lot. So I was like, this is the man charge. And I actually took a selfie with him because I was like, this is the coolest guy at this show.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about seeing Wet Leg or seeing...
who is Wet Leg? So many people are telling me, I'm saying Wet Leg stuff. Who is that? I just heard, my friend Todd told me about that.
Johnny, Wet Leg is the best band in the world.
Really?
Wet Leg is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I actually went in, me, Dylan, and my drummer, we actually recorded a cover of a Wet Leg song recently that we're going to release. Wet Dream. So go and listen to Wet Dream and go, oh yes, Patrick, I'm in his Wet Dream. It is, they're just so perfectly perfect. I think last night the Grammys
or something,
they won best alternative indie album. I think best album. You know, they're so awesome, and they need to be protected at all costs as well.
Are they kids or something? What's going on?
No, they're not kids. They're in their late 20s. It's fronted by two women. They're like British, French, from one of the islands there.
Okay, you got it. You sold
and I swear I read somewhere that when they were nominated for Grammys, one of them was like, what's the Grammys?
That's awesome.
So that's why. So if you go, this album, their album Wet Leg is such a great listen. And Dylan and I were listening. We're like, Dylan, why do we like this so much? And this is really good for a music fan. If you like something a lot and it's the only thing this artist has put out, well, who did it for them? Who produced it? Who engineered it? Who mixed it? So we looked at who mixed it. Alan Moulder. So Alan Moulder
he was an engineer produced Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
My Bloody Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So he's very... Sorry.
That was good. Hey, everyone.
Yes, very
tweet
good.
At me, at Johnny Gotti. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It was... So this very wonderful kind of 90s sound to it that is there, but not like overdoing it, because that's actually something that I've seen kind of coming back right. in fashion as well.
Flood. He worked with Flood.
Okay, there you go.
That was that. Like he, I think Flood was the producer and he was the engineer, or vice versa. Go one ahead. Or
the
other.
But you know, and that's the thing. Sometimes that's just labels.
Yeah.
Like they're just like, oh, we got to put you down as something.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're just working side by side in the studio with this and the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So with kind of like with me and Dylan in the studio, I'll make the sounds and Dylan sculpts them.
Yeah.
So Dylan's there and says, oh, let's use this pedal. Let's do this. Or what if you did, you know, kind of this way? And I was like, well, Dylan, what if I did it this way? And then, you know, kind of like that. So it's a nice team effort.
I really like Dylan and Allison.
Oh, yes. Very good people.
I want to find an Allison of my own. Because they seem to have an Allison a good of thing. Your own? Yeah, or Dylan, whatever it is.
Oh, you want to find a Dylan or
whatever. They just seem like they have a good connection. Like they're happy to be together. They're having fun when they're out.
They are happy to be together.
One of them's not a dick. One of them. You know?
Wait, which one?
No, I'm saying.
Wait, hold on.
They're both really cool. It's not like one of them's a dick.
Oh, I got it. It's not like, one of them's kind of a jerk. No, they're both very nice.
And one of them is.
No, they're both very nice.
Yeah,
people.
And they seem to have a nice, like that to me is what, when I see them, I know this is funny. I might not have ever expressed this to them and they might think it's weird if they ever hear this. But I do, I'm always like, oh, that's what relationships should be like. Like they're real comfortable around each other. They're not bickering. They can laugh at each other.
Yes.
It's all very natural.
I've known people where I'm around them and there's like a constant tension there. There's no tension with Dylan and Allison. There's just like maybe, you know, I did live with them for a little while.
Oh, really?
I was in Austin. So, you know, I'm very close with both of them. There were sometimes, you know, this, that, and the other's like, oh, okay. And then the problem was fixed. It wasn't like something around for a while. But, you know, there's still things that happen. But, oh, gosh. No, exactly. Like everything works so well in that house. And what's the funniest thing is Dylan is a very loud person with his recording and everything. But Allison likes everything's very quiet.
Oh yeah.
So what's really funny about their house is when she chose all the appliances for that house, they had to be the most quiet ones. So she got the quietest dishwasher. She has the quietest refrigerator.
Yeah.
Even in the restroom, the quietest fan, which I argued with her afterwards is actually the opposite of what you want. I want the loudest thing to cover up all the sins and the sounds.
Yeah, that thing.
The explosions.
Are you not living here now?
No, I'm not actually. I'm in Longview until I can.
You drove all the way here from Longview?
Yeah, I did.
Jesus, dude.
I love it here.
I would have done that on Zoom.
Oh, you've done it on Zoom? No. I was coming here anyway. I'm going to go see the BMI songwriter thing at Saxon tonight. And I like coming here anyway. This is fun to come
Who's
here.
Who's on that thing tonight?
Oh, I have no idea.
I don't think I'm going to go. I got to do dog stuff. I got to...
People
are blowing me up too, by the way. I'm getting a lot of calls.
Getting a lot of calls because they know Jeremiah Jackson's in town. No, they don't. They have no
Jeremiah
idea.
Jeremiah Jackson's in town. My sister and other people were calling.
Oh, your sister. Yeah.
Sister Nicole.
Sister Nicole.
You got to answer when she calls because she gets upset.
I got a sister-in-law named Nicole.
Do you? Do you get along with your family real well?
Yeah, for the most part.
Where's Longview?
Longview is just about 2.5 hours east of Dallas off of I-20, and it's about an hour west of Shreveport.
Right, right, right.
So northeast Texas.
You're not going back there today.
No, I'm staying the night.
Over at Dillon's?
No, I got a lovely little room.
Oh, you got a place?
A lovely little hotel room.
You might be able to pick up a lady at the...
I'm gonna pick up all the ladies, and I'm gonna do some bicep curls, and show them that it's about, you know, quality, not quantity. So it's about how you do the rep, nice and slowly with control. And then we'll go back to the hotel room.
Yeah, and then you'll lose control.
And then glitter and glam everywhere.
Ah, dude, Jeremiah, what else do we need to cover here before you go? I love talking to you, man. You're a nice guy.
I love talking to you as well. You're a nice guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry you had to go through all that tough shit, man. Oh. That's other people can do shit to you, but like what you end up doing to yourself up here in your head is the worst, man. I'm sorry you had to go through that.
And I'm happy that I was able to go through that now, because if you can go through something like that,
oh yeah, and come out.
You have the ability to accomplish anything you want to. Yeah. You really have that power within yourself, and it does. Just like us, that's why I really do believe in that. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Because that there is a real sentiment to that statement. Because when I say it, I really do mean it.
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, people have come up to me after shows like, wow, I believe in you. I felt that. That was nice. Like, it's a good thing to go and to see. A group that's really happy to be there and happy that you're there, not recoiled going, oh, I'm gonna go up here and blend all these people, blah, 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 and then running away. And that's another thing why I like Wet Leg. They go up there and you see their live performances and they are just so happy.
And they played on the Grammys?
I'm not sure.
They won a Grammy?
They won a Grammy. I skimmed the news this morning because I didn't watch it because I can't stand watching Grammys. But, I'll go back if there's something cool to watch. I'll go back and watch that.
You shouldn't be upset. Like, look, I've never. I mean, when I was a little kid, the Cure was never on the fucking Grammys. Cheap Trick's never on the Grammys. Like, fuck those guys.
No. I love Robert. Robert Smith, right? The Cure.
Yeah.
Coming up, and then this interviewer, like, it was more recent. It's like, oh, it's Robert Smith of the Cure. Aren't you so excited to be here? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. It's like. Sadly we're not.
Yeah.
Just like, no, sadly we're not. I just love that so much. Just die laughing.
That was so on brand, too. Oh, yeah, so, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, unless Billy Crystal is hosting.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you go back to those days of the Academy Awards and, one of my favorites that I think back to was when Jon Stewart hosted years ago. And they had this whole thing, the war in Afghanistan had just started, or I think Iraq or something like that, you know. And they had this joke little promo. He's like, we made a promotion for these Academy Award nominees. And it was this old couple like sitting there going, oh, who are the nominees this year? Oh, so-and-so, such-and-such. And they get to, oh, Renee Zellweger. Well, that's a foreign name. I don't think that's appropriate during wartime. And I just died laughing. I could not... Just
that was like, a weird thing. Like, they changed the name of French fries to Freedom Fries at fucking Capitol lunchroom or whatever. Fuck those guys, man. This is an insane world we live in.
It's like, we're going to take this entire day to change the name of this instead of healthcare for all, or instead of helping the people.
Yeah, we need to make sure that,
Well, if there's anything that I can leave with the people of the podcast land out there with, the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be on the radio. The revolution will be in the streets. The revolution will not be in your living room. The revolution will be in your face.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it.
I think we learned that in 2020 and 2021.
Yes, we did.
Everybody was revolting. Sorry.
Both sides. And that's the thing. That's not just one side. Yeah,
everyone.
That's revolting. Everyone's revolting.
Everyone took to the streets.
Everyone did take to the streets. And
I did not take to the streets. I was also scared of COVID during some of that time.
Oh yeah, no.
There was a big thing. Remember the downtown? Scott was going down there a lot. Yes, Scott Collins.
Yes, he was.
There was a lot of people also going down there to be like, I'm down here. But I was like, hey, there's still COVID. But
what exactly? And also the thing is, when you go and do something like that, what exactly is it that you're doing? You know, and you know, it's kind of, well, you're, I'm not saying it's bad that you're there, or how dare you go out and voice your opinion,
because
it is your right.
Yeah.
To do that is not your, you're free to do that in this country, to go out and voice your opinion in such a way. However, it's so difficult to change such large scoping things. So that's why, and something that, you know, you always have seen in Austin is a lot of local grassroots campaigning. You can change more locally than you can huge nationally things. So if you want to see change, go outside and practice a little thing called civic virtue. If you see some trash on the ground, pick it up and put it in the trash can. You want to recycle that can, put it in the recycling. Those little things.
Well, it's like when it's not a presidential election, like 18 people vote. You know what I mean? But those are the ones that really, like, the president, you can't. If the light goes out on your street, you can't write the president, turn the light on. But your city councilman, you fucking can. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can.
The person you're voting for, if there's some shit going on weird in your district, you can write your congressman.
Yeah, don't let Joseph Biden ignore it. Let your congressman ignore it. Yeah, but no, I mean, well, that no. And that's the thing. If you make enough noise about it, that's the thing. They ignore you when you try to take the diplomatic route.
Right.
And then they get confused when you take to the street and make noise. They get confused when you break things.
Yeah.
They are the unheard.
Yeah.
The unheard masses, you know, yearning to be heard, yearning to be free, and that freedom is not there yet.
No. What are you doing out there in Longview? What are you hanging out? Smoking weed? I'm just joking.
No, hanging out mostly. I'm actually currently working on getting my pharmacy tech certification.
Oh, that's great.
Of all things.
A friend of mine has that. It's come in handy. He's a great guitar player, but whenever he needs to go work, he gets a great job.
Oh, no, it's something highly in need.
Yeah.
I want to do something like that. And I also have, college degrees that can go along with that and support that.
But it's fantastic, Jeremiah.
But no, I'm currently studying to do that so I can get to work in that and then move back to the great state of Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
The People's Republic.
People's Republic of Austin.
Of Austin, Texas.
You ever go to the Bossier City Mall?
Bossier City Mall? No.
Yeah, it's over there in Shreveport.
No. I'm familiar with Shreveport. But that's the thing. It's not really Louisiana because I got family from southern Louisiana. That's just more East Texas over there.
Yeah, it is. But they got a, where did I go there? I went to a Hustler strip club there.
They got Larry Flint's there too.
What's that? Another place?
Yeah, Larry Flint. Well, I think he is the Hustler guy. You know, the guy in the wheelchair.
Yeah, no, he's dead.
The People versus Larry Flint. He's dead?
Yeah.
What killed him?
I mean, his life. He saw too many boobs. No, he
look at all the tits up there. That's got to be 57 tits up there. Look at that.
No, I remember going to the Hustler Club with my friend Jake that was our tech in Skyrocket. It was just like 10 years ago.
Maybe if you ever hang out with Kyle again. If you hang out with Kyle Ellison.
Who
worked with Stereo Rider out a little bit, by the way, there at Podcast Land. He has a story of him when he was in Pariah. I think they toured with Pantera.
Yeah. Oh.
And apparently Dimebag, I think, took him out to a club of his in Dallas or something.
Yeah, they have a club. So they had a club. I mean, I went to it. It's a golf-themed strip club.
Golf?
It's weird. Yeah, it's real weird.
That is awesome sounding. Yeah. A golf
theme. A lot of pictures of the Three Stooges and people from like the 30s playing golf, like when they wore those weird pants that were puffy and the hat and everything.
Back when
people dressed up to go on a plane.
Back when being racist was a little bit more accepted too for the so the guys in Pantera.
There's a part of me that believes that they would probably be a little racist, that Pantera group.
I never met them,
but I did go to that strip club.
A little. There's video. There's audio proof.
I'm sure.
And they're still shredders. But
I'll tell you this one thing: when I went there was in the year 2000. And I can't remember what the name of the place
is. In the year 2000, Johnny went to this place.
And when we got there, there was I was on a record label. It was the same as Pantera's on Elektra. And somebody had been like, oh, we're going to set it up so you guys can go. But also Nine Inch Nails was in town.
Oh, gosh.
And someone had set it up so they could go. But I don't think they ever showed up, but... me and our guitar player and some other dudes showed up, and they were like, oh shit, it's them. And like,
oh, it's Nine Inch Nails.
Got this fucking like red carpet shit. It's unbelievable.
That is awesome.
So the whole night, then finally, like, I'm like, geez, man, I've never been like treated so nice, like in all my life, especially at a weird place like this.
That's awesome. Good for you. So I'm glad that happened.
I go and thank the person. They're like, yeah, cool. How was the show? And I was like, oh no, we're just here doing a radio thing. She was like, wait, you're not a Nine Inch Nails? I'm like, no. I realized that's how we got the treatment.
Yeah. Well, when Johnny, if I learned anything from Ghostbusters, it's that when someone asks if you're a god, you say yes.
Yeah, that's true.
You just say yes. Are you a Nine Inch Nails? Yes.
I thought you were going to say, you know, one thing I learned from Ghostbusters is if when they ask you, who are you going to call?
Not us.
Jeremiah, man. Okay, Stereo Rider is the song. You can find Jeremiah and all of his information at jeremiahjacksonmusic.com.
Correct.
It's been great talking to you again. Is there anything else you want to leave the people with before you go?
No, just follow me on Instagram, guys. That's my main thing that I post
you
on.
You Instagram?
Oh, yeah, I use that TikTok.
No, I see. I did a lot of... And, you TikTok?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, TikTok. Jeremiah Jackson Music. It's the same, so come and follow me and see my shows. I'm playing in a... Tyler on Friday, February 10th for a little solo romantic.
This will be out after that. Sorry.
This will be out after that. Yeah. Don't go and see me in the past.
Tyler
is
great.
Future. Tyler is fun.
I love
fun.
Tyler.
Tyler is fun.
They What's the other town? Nacogdoches. That's
Nacogdoches,
a good one.
Nacogdoches, where Stephen F. Austin is. Yeah, that's another one. They got towns all over the place. You hear about that? They got these new things called cities and towns and people and places and things.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. Dude, it's been great having you on.
It's been great being here.
Yeah,
thank
man,
you.
Good talking to you, bro. Gang, that was Jeremiah Jackson, his song Stereo Rider. You're hearing it now. You can find it wherever it is you stream and download music. You can find Jeremiah Jackson on the socials, on the Instagram and all that stuff. Jeremiah Jackson Music. You can also find him at jeremiahjacksonmusic.com. jeremiahjacksonmusic.com. I want to thank him for doing the show. I'm glad he's doing so good. I love that guy. Love talking to him. He's a great dude. All right, get out there and check out Stereo Rider. And gang, don't forget, when you're out there checking out Stereo Rider, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you get podcasts, man. New podcasts every Tuesday and every Friday. Sometimes I drop a From the Vault episode. Oh my God, it's everywhere, man, because we have like 12,554 episodes. So I reach back in one from like 10 years ago, pull it out, or 3 years ago, or a year ago, whatever. Pull it out. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you want to hear it again. Who knows? That's From the Vault. Check it out on Saturday. All right, gang. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you, Jeremiah, for doing the show. Check out Stereo Rider. Have a great weekend, whatever you're doing. Maybe I'll see you at the hotspot for the Unity show. Let's get down.